If you're single, you'll probably be wondering how to talk about your cancer with a new partner. What do you tell them? When should you bring it up? And how do you say it? Therapist Karen Anderson runs a private counselling practice and often talks people through this process. Karen, what would you advise?
In terms of when and how, it's very much an individual choice. And when you think of the spread of people and the gender, male or female, or the spread of ages, you could be young, you could be older, you could have had multiple partners or a long-term marriage or relationship. So there is actually no right way. There's no manual or no roadmap for this. The roadmap that you need to use is yourself. So you only need to share what you want to share, how much you want to share, with whom you want to share and when you want to share and where you want to share when you determine that. And I often think with clients, if there's any hesitancy or doubting and you're feeling uncomfortable, then caution rather than advancement. So rather than let it all come out, hold back and check that out for a little bit longer in knowing the person. Because one of the things that is important here is it's not about yourself only. It's about the other person as well and the relationship between you. So that what was just yourself as one person, when we're entering into relationships, there's two other components, three all together: myself, the other person, and our relationship. So bearing that in mind, the best guide is to trust yourself, and that will be different for each person.
Are there ways of bringing your confidence up so that you get to that point where you're comfortable with sharing?
Sometimes that is to do being in a right place. So some people find, of all places, a car is very good because a car is confined and restricted in its space. So you feel contained. So you feel you can talk there. Whereas if you're out in a public place, you can feel other people might be around, they might interrupt, they might overhear. So that can be actually more distractive sometimes than being in a confined space.
Are there better ways of bringing it up than others, better ways to say things, for example?
In terms of better or not so good ways, I guess, is where you recognise that you're nervous and you bring it out and just to get rid of it, I've got to offload this. And that tends to go a bit flat. And if anything, that certainly kills any sort of level of excitement or passion or intimacy that might be developing within the relationship. So the drive or the motivation within to offload it, be aware of and make yourself more relaxed in feeling comfortable to say. And I'll be honest, some people practice. They actually practice in at home on their own in front of a mirror. Sometimes, you know, with a soft toy or something, they practice, they recite, they get familiar within themselves in order to say it when they want to say it, with whom they want to say it. So practice is actually a good one too.
What are some of the things that you should communicate, you know, when it comes to cancer and potentially, you know, starting a new relationship? Are there particular aspects of your cancer history that you need to share?
It's everybody is different, and again, that's the critical thing. It's individual for each person. But I do really feel from a relationship point of view and as a relationship therapist, it's very important that you be open and honest with what are critical things. So if, for example, the cancer is impacted sensitively in the area of infertility and means that you're infertile and you're developing a new relationship and there's a possibility around children, as comfortable within that relationship as soon as possible to be able to say, look, there is something I need to talk to you about. I've had a cancer experience and out of that I'm not able to have children, because that might be a pivotal component in the other person seeking a relationship. So infertility is a very important thing to raise as early in the relationship in terms of when the relationship is becoming more committed. Not, I don't mean immediately, you can go out and have fun for some time before feeling you want to make a commitment. But once the commitment is there, it's very important to be clear and honest with that. The other component along with infertility is genetics. If there's a genetic history which may impact upon having children, or in terms of lifespan, limited lifespan, again, it's in your own best interest, not in the impact of the other person only, but the best interest of yourself, that the other person is most informed. And then they're making choices that will sincerely reflect on you and be supportive of you rather than staying in a relationship because they feel pressured to because of feeling empathy for you.
When it comes to becoming more intimate with your new partner and becoming more physical, obviously you're going to have to show your body mm-hmm. and there may be some changes there. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to get through that?
Well, again, I think critically before the passion arises is to be able to name it so that if you're comfortable in yourself, well, look, this is, you know, I've gone through this and, you know, you might be fully clothed and not in an intimate circumstance, but you might say, look, I've got a twangy leg or I only have one breast because of I've been through a breast cancer experience or I experienced lymphedema and therefore I wear a sleeve. Then the person's prepared and it's not an issue because they're already in the known ground. Exploring it is the next issue when you are unclothed and in that intimate space. Most couples and most people that I have spoken to me and shared with me over the years around their sexual aspects, that's not been an issue. Once they've known about it, when they've gone into following their passion and their drive and wanting to be together, the scarring, the lack of whatever's missing is not no issue because it's about two people relating and that's what's important for them.
When you are, you know, going out and seeking a new partner or starting a new relationship, is there a propensity to blame cancer if things don't work out?
Sometimes in relationships can break down. It's very, very important in terms of cancer that people don't feel that the cancer is a reason why the relationship broke down. So they may feel they're being rejected because of their cancer. That's most often not the case. It may be, for the other person, it may be that they feel that they can't cope with being with somebody who's had cancer and survived it. And then that's a clear indication that this is not the sort of person that you actually need to be with. So it's a statement more about the relationship rather than you personally being rejected. And I think that's very important for people to grasp.